This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna.
You just heard from Tyler, truth or dare? Well, will that apply to the manual nobody handed Pretoria's diplomats? Well, our foreign policy has increasingly come under the spotlight with questions being raised about how the country positions itself on the global stage and whether our diplomats are equipped to navigate an increasingly complex geopolitical landscape. Now, our next guest believes there's a crucial piece missing from the puzzle. Now, in his latest article, just to give you some background, the article is entitled "The Manual Nobody Handed Pretoria's Diplomats." He's arguing that whilst diplomacy is often about relationships and ideals, it also requires strategy, also realism, and a clear understanding of national interests. Well, joining us once again, we welcome Ofense Donald Davi. Ofense is a political analyst, a researcher, and research associate at the Center for Risk Analysis. As always, it's a pleasure to have him on the show. Ofense, welcome back, and thanks for taking the time to join us once again.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me back. I enjoyed you.
Great to have you back, Ofense. Your article is titled "The Manual Nobody Handed Pretoria's Diplomats." Now, what is this manual you believe is missing, and what inspired you to write about it?
Yeah, sure thing. So I'll start with first what inspired me to talk about it, which is that I have the privilege to speak to a lot of foreign missions that are here in Pretoria, who just seek advice on who's really running the show here in Pretoria. Either it's a veteran diplomat that's been here for 4 years, or if it's a diplomat that just arrived last week. And what I tell them is that the country that you knew is no longer here, does no longer exist. And the reason why I say this is because for the past 30 years, for three decades, it was the ANC running the show through all the ministerial departments. And that is no longer the case. And now we see that there is a coalition complication to the mix of it all. So if you're going to approach Pretoria in terms of negotiations, as these missions do here in Pretoria,
right,
you're going to have to switch your strategy and see who exactly you should be talking to.
So what have their observations been? What have you gathered from them in response to what you have now outlined to them? What are they saying?
So really it's what they ask, which is important. And what they ask is that who really runs the show? And the reason why they ask this is purely because we saw two weeks ago, that there was a cabinet reshuffle. But the cabinet reshuffle was not triggered by an ANC-NEC meeting. It was not triggered by President Ramaphosa. Instead, it was triggered by Jordan Hill Lewis and his request to the president. That's something we have not seen before.
Sure.
And thus, it is a change in the mix of what's going on and who really is running the show. So my objective in this article is to clarify that although there has been a change, this change is a new normal and it's nothing out of the ordinary. And the reason I say this is because when studying coalitions all over the world, especially from European countries, we see that there is a division of labor in governing and governance and governing decision making. And thus, whenever a cabinet reshuffle would be made and would directly impact the foreign missions that are in contact with some of these ministers, they need to see why has this reshuffle taken place, who was in charge of it. Before, in the old playbook, it would be the ANC president that was in charge of it. Now there's a bit of a change where the DA has a significant role in that.
Okay, so, many people think diplomacy only affects politicians, but foreign policy also has real consequences for trade, yeah, investment, and jobs. So from your perspective, how closely are those issues connected?
Yeah, they're very much intertwined. In the article, I even argue that some of the DA's ministries touch foreign affairs, despite the Department of International Relations being purely ANC. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say this is because whenever we see the president go overseas, who was in France recently, he's traveled throughout Europe, he was in Brazil the other month. Whenever he comes back with a lot of deals haven't been signed. And these deals are not only signed with the Department of International Relations, it's deals across basic education, higher education, agriculture, trade, environment, so on and so forth. Before then, we would always come to the conclusion, before even a pen is put on paper, that a deal would be successful because the ANC's agendas would have been filled. But now these deals have to cater to the different constituencies that the different political parties in government are catering to. So if someone wants to make an agricultural deal with the South African government, they first have to deal with a DA minister. However, that process, just to add more to the complication, that process, despite it being directly with the Minister of Agriculture, being DA, has to go through a DERCO process, which has been purely ANC for the past decades.
Okay, so let's put aside the politics, the political figures, the political parties, etc. If you, sir, were tasked with rewriting that manual, then what are some of the key qualities and skills you believe then South African diplomats need to succeed with today?
A skill I would say that's needed is to have tolerance to speak to people you may not want to speak to, but also those that you may have not ever thought you'd be speaking to. So a key thing here as well to add is speaking, especially now that we're in an election season, is speaking to individuals who you believe may in future hold a position of power, who you believe may succeed to the next, to a particular seat, before it would be easy to assume that a deputy minister would one day become minister. But that's not the case anymore. So what's needed in diplomacy is essentially the meaning of diplomacy, to just speak to as many stakeholders as possible to be able to really gauge on who's really controlling Pretoria.
Interesting question coming through from one of our listeners, Offense. It reads, how should South Africa, Offense, do you believe, balance its historical values with the realities of today's increasingly competitive geopolitical environment?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question. I actually love that so much, because we have seen the political quarrel between the ANC and the DA, where the DA accuses the ANC for being overly friendly with its partners that have a history towards the ANC and anti-apartheid fight and so on and so forth. So now that balance in the governance has to, that quarrel rather, has to now be translated into government processes, where if a deal is going to be signed with the likes of Zimbabwe, for example, in terms of agriculture, it has to go through a DA minister. So it's the politics behind that that one really has to be closely observe. However, because it still has to go through an ANC process, through DERCO, i.e. through DERCO, there's a high chance that those historical elements in South Africa's foreign policy will continue to hold throughout the GNU and even maybe after this administration.
You know, let's look at South Africa's international standing. From your perspective, Offense, do you believe it has strengthened or weakened in recent years? And for that matter, what factors do you think have contributed to that perception?
Yeah, sure. So I won't even try to sugarcoat that. The biggest factor that played a role is the Trump administration, Trump 2.0, and the hostility towards South Africa. That has definitely made a shift in South Africa's standing in foreign affairs in two ways. One way is that it has brought a lot of sympathetic elements from other actors in the global sphere that have been victim to this hostility from the current US administration. When South Africa has not been invited to the G20, all the other 19 countries are supporting South Africa. So in a way, there has been a positive out of this hostility. But at the same time, the hostility has not helped South Africa, because our second biggest trading partner is the one directing this hostility towards us. Bad relations with the US ultimately translate to a bad positioning in the global sphere context, in the global political context. Another aspect as well is the unfortunate anti-immigrant sentiment from South Africa that has trickled up north to our borders, where some African countries as well are having this hot political debate of South Africa. We saw yesterday at a briefing where a Nigerian journalist was battling with one of our ministers, and that is just simply not a good look for South Africa.
I mean, for that matter, what lessons could we learn from countries that consistently put their national interests at the center of their foreign policy?
So I actually wrote a separate article where I speak of the one tool that South Africa has not used in its immigration policy. And that one tool is foreign policy. So what we saw what we've seen with the Trump administration, for example, is that it would use a coercive diplomacy hand towards its migrant sending countries by using foreign policy to coerce some of these countries to strengthen its own people management. So rather than punishing Americans themselves, what the US did through foreign policy is that it would use a foreign policy bargaining chip on the likes of Mexico, Guatemala, so on and so forth, mm-hmm. for those countries to strengthen their own borders and make sure that their people don't illegally cross to America. That's a foreign policy tool. South Africa has not done that. South Africa has had conversations that are targeting the Department of Infrastructure, the Department of Home Affairs, but there aren't any conversations and any topics on what the Department of International Relations should be doing to control its migration policy, which is that we should be holding Zimbabwe accountable when an election goes wrong. We should be holding the likes of Mali and Somalia and so on and so forth. We should hold them accountable through foreign policy tools. By doing that, we'd be able to indirectly impact the migration issue in a positive manner.
Funny now, somebody's just sent in the question. It's actually the appropriate question to round off our discussion. You have now alluded to it, what you've just mentioned. But I guess the question is more specific. It reads, if you were advising Ofense, the Department of International Relations today, what would be your top three priorities for rebuilding a more effective diplomatic strategy? I guess that's in a broader basis and not country-specific.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So what I would say, maybe not top three, but like one good one, is that South Africa has this African Renaissance Fund. This is South Africa's US aid equivalent. And we send a lot of money for good reasons to a lot of countries on the African continent. What South Africa should do is use that investment tool, that diplomacy, that development diplomacy tool as a tool to help strengthen democracy in Africa. There should be a prerequisite for Zimbabwe to be able to gain 400 million rand of South African taxpayer money for humanitarian assistance. But there is no prerequisite. Zimbabwe can jump through loops and walk around South Africa and still benefit out of that. Whereas Durko, although it's a good liberal stance for Durko to hold in doing good for good sake, there comes a time where it's the South African taxpayer and our national interests that are taking the beating from it. And thus, I would encourage South Africa, the Durko, and our foreign policy to use our foreign policy tools to shape and better help the South African people, but also to still maintain friendliness with our neighbors.
Certainly insightful, shall we say, feedback and responses you've given us today, Ofense, on this issue. And thank you for joining us once again, for helping us unpack the complexities and the inroads and in and outs of diplomacy in a rapidly changing world. Foreign policy, well, we can, you know, acknowledge it often seems distant from our everyday lives. But as we've heard today from you, the decisions made in Pretoria can have a direct impact on our economy, also international relationships and future opportunities. Ofense, once again, thanks for joining us on today's show. Ofense Donald Davi has joined us on previous shows. Ofense is a political analyst, researcher, and research associate at the Center of Risk Analysis. And of course, we always look forward to having you back on the program soon for that matter. I mean, have we struck the right balance between our moral principles and national interests in international affairs? Let's continue with this conversation. What qualities do you think are most important in a modern diplomat representing South Africa abroad in ever-changing geopolitical and global dynamics, as I've outlined before? Do you believe South Africa has enough influence on the global stage to shape international events for that matter?